we're turning to the second book of the Bible, the book of Exodus. We were in Genesis this morning, and now Exodus. Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, and we're commencing our reading at verse 1 of Exodus chapter 12. Let us hear God's word, beginning at verse 1 of Exodus chapter 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregations of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbour next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating, it shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year, ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood, and strike it on the two side posts, and on the upper door post of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes in your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. And ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be an holy convocation. And in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat. That only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at even. In 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Ye shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations shall ye eat unleavened bread. We'll end the reading there at verse 20, and knowing that the Lord will bless the public reading of His Word for His own name's sake. Again, let us bow reverently before the Lord, seeking His help, and conscious that we need His help. Lord, our most gracious and heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the instruction found in Thy precious truth. We thank Thee for all that we have seen and heard even now. Lord, we ask of Thee even now for that emptying of self and of sin, to fill me now full of the Holy Ghost and with power. Lord, Thou hast said, there shall not any man be able to stand before Thee all the days of Thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with Thee. I will not fail Thee, nor forsake Thee. And Lord, we thank Thee that Thou art a covenant-keeping God. And Lord, we ask of Thee that Thou wilt speak with a voice that wakes the dead and make Thy people hear. Do that which is of Thyself. Give deciding grace. Bless the people of God. And help in this meeting in its entirety, and especially in the preaching of divine truth. For it's in Christ's precious name we ask these things. Hide us behind the cross, that none will be seen, save Jesus only. For it's in Christ's precious name we ask it, and for Thy glory alone. Amen. The passage of which we have read together, we see clearly God appointed that in the night wherein they were to go out of Egypt, they should each of their families kill a lamb. Or that two or three families, if they were small, should join for a lamb. You see, the lamb was to be got ready days before, and that afternoon they were to kill it. We see this in verse 6. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, as a sacrifice, not strictly, for it was to be not offered upon the altar, but as a religious ceremony, acknowledging God's goodness to them, not only in preserving them from, but delivering them by the plagues inflicted upon the Egyptians. You see, the lamb slain, they were to eat, roasted with unleavened bread and bitter herbs, because they were to eat it in haste immediately, not to leave none of it, that is, until the morning, for God would have them to depend upon Him for their daily bread, and to take no thought of the morrow. He that led them would feed them. But before they ate the flesh of the lamb, they were instructed to sprinkle the blood upon the doorposts. We see this in verse 7. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorpost of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And so by this their houses were to be distinguished, to be set apart, to be distinguished from the houses of the Egyptians. So their firstborn were secured from the sword of the destroying angel. We see this in verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. You see, it is the blood of sprinkling. It is the blood of sprinkling that is the saint's security in times of common calamity. For the true child of God, the child of God is safe. Safe from the destroying angel under the sprinkled blood. Because it is God seeing the blood, which is the true reason for our being spared. And so here is comfort. Comfort to the child of God. When the eye of faith is dim, God's eye is still the same. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. You see, it is the precious blood that marks them for God, that pacifies conscience and gives them boldness of access to the throne of grace, and so becomes a wall of protection round about them. And a wall of partition between them and the children of this world. You see, the Passover, it was to be annually observed as a feast of the Lord in their generations, to which the feast of unleavened bread was attached, during which, for 7 days, they were to eat no bread. They were to eat no bread, but what was unleavened, in remembrance of their being confined to such a bread of necessity, for many days after they came out of Egypt. It was to be kept every year, both as a remembrance of Israel's preservation and deliverance out of Egypt, and as a remarkable type of Christ. You see, their safety and deliverance. Their safety and deliverance were not the reward of their own righteousness, but the gift of mercy. But the gift of mercy. And therefore they were reminded. And by this ordinance they were taught that all blessings comes to them through the shedding and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. And so we have God's Lamb typified. You see, we see clearly that the Paschal Lamb was typical, that the Lord Jesus Christ is our Passover, as recorded in 1 Corinthians 5:7, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. You see, it was to be a lamb. And Christ is God's Lamb, the Lamb of God. And so firstly, we see the provision of the Lamb. The provision of the Lamb. Look at verses 3 to 4 with me. Verses 3 to 4 of chapter 12, that of which we read earlier. And it says this: Speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house, and if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man, according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. You see, we see in the verses concerning the provision of the lamb. for the protection from the slaying of the firstborn. You see, it's clearly laid out before us that the appointment of the Lamb was a divine appointment. It wasn't originated by man. It wasn't man's idea, but it was God's. And the Lamb was the only way of escape. The only way of escape. You see, God didn't make many ways to escape. He appointed one way and one way only. And that was appointed. That which was appointed was the Lamb as the only way of escape. You see, my friend, we live in a day and generation when men call out, preach that there are many ways to God. And it is absolutely contrary to the teaching of God's Word. There is one way and one way only to heaven. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of God's Trinity, the Son of God and God the Son, is represented as given or appointed by God for this great purpose: to save a people from their sins. As the only way, and the only way God has given, a way of salvation. But my friend, how shall we escape? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? If they in their time, if they who had fewer privileges than we have, to whom God spoke in divers manners by angels and prophets, fell under the displeasure of their Maker and were punished with sore destruction, how shall we escape wrath? How shall we escape wrath to the uttermost if we neglect the salvation provided and proclaimed to us by the Son of God? You see, throughout Scripture, the Lamb is found as that which God appointed to protect men from the judgment of God. And as we saw in Genesis 22, this morning, we have recorded there Abraham and Isaac. And Abraham is to offer Isaac as a burnt offering, yet it was the Lamb that saved Isaac from death upon the altar. And God provided a lamb, and Abraham said, offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And so the provision of the Lamb was for the salvation of men. From Genesis to Revelation, we learn that God appointed Jesus Christ, and Christ alone, as the Lamb of God, to provide salvation for sinful men. And therefore, hence, provision has been made. Provision has been made. There isn't only the provision of the Lamb, but there is the character of the Lamb. The character of the Lamb. Verse 5, your Lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year, ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. You see, we see clearly the sinlessness of Jesus Christ. He who was not able to sin and not able to sin. Able not to sin and not able to sin. The Lamb was to be without blemish, which sets forth that great doctrine of the impeccability of Christ, as the sinlessness of Christ is essential to our salvation, and not only a Lamb, and not only a Lamb, without blemish and without spot, is an acceptable sacrifice for sin. And so we see the character of the Lamb, in that the Lamb was without blemish and without spot, without any defect in it. For the smallest deformity or defect made a lamb unfit, unfit for sacrifice. Yet the true character of God's Lamb, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, who knew no sin. For he, that is the Father, hath made him, that is Jesus Christ. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so the purity of the mediator, the only mediator between God and man, God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And so the purity of the mediator, he knew no sin. He knew no sin. The sacrifice he offered, he was made sin, not a sinner, but sin that is a sin offering, a sacrifice for sin. And so the end and design of all this, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, might be justified, declared righteous freely, without a cause, by the grace of God through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. And so Christ, who knew no sin of his own, was made sin. He who knew no sin was made sin. And so we who have no righteousness of our own are made the righteousness of God in him. And so our reconciliation to God is only through Jesus Christ. and for the sake of his merit. And therefore, on him, therefore, we must rely. On him we must rely and make mention of his righteousness and his only. And so over and over, we find the testimony of Scripture. The testimony of Scripture in regards to the character of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, God's Lamb, I find in him no fault at all. As the thief in the cross. But this man hath done nothing amiss. The centurion stated at the cross. Certainly, this was a righteous man. You see, my friend, if Christ was not sinless, if Christ was not sinless, and of course I say it hypothetically, then no one will be saved. No one will be saved. Listen, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. No sin, no violence, no injustice, or did no wrong to anyone. He wrought no iniquity of any, that is, of any sort whatsoever. Neither was guile found in his mouth, his words as well as his actions were all sincere, just, and right. There's not only the character of the Lamb, but there is the slaughter of the Lamb. The slaughter of the Lamb. Verse 6, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. You see, we understand that Christ was the fulfillment of the Paschal Lamb. The lamb was to be prepared 4 days before, and that afternoon they were to kill it. It was to be slain, roasted with fire, which shows us the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ, even unto death, the death of the cross. Note that the lamb was to be slaughtered by the whole congregation. The lamb was to be slaughtered by the whole congregation. Verse 6, part B, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. You see, the whole assembly, each and every person, the whole assembly was involved in the slaughter of the Lamb. All guilty. Guilty. Guilty of crucifying Jesus Christ. For it was sin. It was sin. It was our sins that nailed him to the tree. And so the Lamb dies to show me that I am guilty. To show me that I am guilty. And that I deserve to die. Yet Christ died. Christ died for the ungodly. And bleeding for sins not his own. He died to atone. There is also the Lamb of God typified in the fact that in the killing of the Lamb, none of the bones were to be broken. None of the bones were to be broken. Verse 46 in the part B, neither shall ye break a bone thereof. Verse 46 in the part B, and the end of that verse, neither shall ye break a bone thereof. And so we have a clear reference to the cross work of Jesus Christ. For the psalmist in prophesying of Christ said in Psalm 34:20, you don't have to turn to it for time's sake, but it says this, he keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. You see, when the soldiers came, they broke the legs of the two at the either side of Christ. That is, the Christ rejecter. His legs were broken. The one who received Christ, his were broken. But when they came to Jesus Christ and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. You see, the Paschal Lamb was killed every year. But Jesus Christ was offered once and only once. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. You see, my friends, the work is done. Finished. Complete. There is a way opened back to God. A way out of the slavery and the guilt of sin by means of the atonement rendered to God. And that is Jesus Christ. And it is on him we must rely. And therefore, sinner outside of Jesus Christ, flee from wrath to come. Come and receive the atonement. Come the blood-sprinkled way. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And fourthly and finally, there is the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb. You see, verse 13, it says this, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. We see back in verse 7 that the blood was to be sprinkled upon the doorposts. You see, it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough that the blood of the Lamb was shed, but it must be sprinkled, setting forth the great truth of the application of the merits of Christ's death to our souls, that we must, that it is necessary that we receive the atonement. You see, if God did not see the blood, then judgment would fall. And so it is still the blood that condemns. For all who are not under its shield, there is only death. The wrath of God abides upon him. You see, the blood was to be sprinkled. It was to be sprinkled with a bush of hyssop, dipped in a basin, and so faith is the bunch of hyssop by which we apply the promise to ourselves. It was sprinkled upon the doorposts, but not upon the threshold, which cautions to take heed of trampling underfoot the blood of the covenant, which means the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. You see, Hebrews 10:29 sets this forth. You don't have to turn to it for time's sake, but it says this: of how much sorer punishment, of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Guilty of despising the sufficiency of the Lord. Guilty of despising the blood of the covenant, which means here the sacrificial death of Christ, by which the new covenant between God and man was ratified, sealed, and confirmed. And counting this unholy, common, which intimates that they expect nothing from it in a sacrificial or atoning way. How near to those persons, and how near to their destruction, do they come in this present day, who reject, who despise the atoning blood, and say that they expect no more benefit. No more benefit from the blood of Christ than they do than that of a mere animal. A cow or a sheep. My friend, it is the blood that provides life. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it unto you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. It is the blood that provides redemption. Thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. The blood provides justification, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. The blood provides restoration. But now in Jesus Christ, ye who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. The blood provides boldness, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. The blood provides sanctification. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. The blood provides peace. And having made peace through the blood of his cross. And therefore we see clearly, God's Lamb typify. For without the shedding of blood is no remission. without the shedding of blood is no forgiveness. And so it was the blood of a divinely appointed victim sent by his Father, because the Father ordained him. And the blood is well-pleasing to the Father. And such is the value, of infinite value, the blood of God's own dear Son. And therefore there is no estimation to the preciousness of God's own Lamb. For He was God, of very God, and Christ died. And God accepted the blood of Christ, and therefore He cannot reject the sinner who pleads that blood. Because the Father said, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And therefore God the Father is satisfied with all who rest, depend, trust upon that atoning sacrifice. Therefore, friend, upon which, or upon what, are you depending to get to heaven? Upon what, or upon which are you depending to get to heaven? My hope is built on nothing less. My hope is certainly not built upon the Free Presbyterian Church, or any other denomination you care to mention. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Therefore, my friend, come. Come and receive the atonement. My friend, it was necessary. It was essential that Christ should suffer, because God's holiness requires the punishment for sin, either upon the sinner in hell or on Christ in the sinner's place. Therefore, come to Christ. Come all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For whom the Lord sets free, He sets free indeed. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Let us bow reverently, quietly before the Lord. My friend, if you're concerned about spiritual matters, about the eternal well-being of your soul, my friend, I'll be down at the door. The elders will be there also. Come speak to us. But it's not us that you need, but we'll simply point you to the one you do need, to the Lord Jesus Christ, that taketh away the sin of the world. Lord, our most gracious and heavenly Father, we thank Thee for a sense of Thy presence. We pray that all that has been of man will fall to the ground, for it's worthless in Thy sight. Do that which only Thou can do. Give the gifts of repentance and faith. Save the lost. And do that gracious work that only Thou can do. For it's in Christ's precious name we pray. And for Thy glory alone. Amen. Amen.